Now, it's an important part of the lectionary reading this week as we celebrate the Reign of Christ Sunday. In the interaction, as I shared with Pilate on the eve before his death, the Jewish authorities have handed him over to the Romans in hope that they will sentence him to death. As the priests and the Pharisees, they had no power to do so in their own courts. Rome was in control of Israel at that time, and the citizens didn't have any power. Even the local priests and the Sadducees and all them guys, yeah, they could go ahead and get him and bring him up before the tribunal and so forth, but they had no power to execute him. So what they were hoping, they would get Pilate to do it. This would be the only way that they could remove this dissident from that was getting under their skin. And he was he bothered the Jews and the Pharisees and the priests and all that. So Pilate reluctantly agrees to interview Jesus. And he tries to get to the bottom of what's truly going on. So at first he said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered the question with a question. That was the way he taught. And good teachers today use that same thing. Teach with a question and then answer the question. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "Well, I am not a Jew. Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me, so what have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be keep fighting from me being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." So with the answer like that, Jesus removes the threat to Rome. And that's really what he did. Pilate again tries to say, "So you're a king?" And Jesus answered definitively, "You call me a king, and here's my purpose. The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And the missing piece followed. Pilate said, "What's truth?" Now, language and context are everything here, and the most interesting and interaction things in life, in the case of Jesus and Pilate, they're essentially speaking different languages. The truth that Jesus wants to witness to testifies to his entire being, and it represents him as the Son of God in his ministry and mission to point to God as the ultimate authority. For Jesus, God's kingdom supersedes everything. And we as human beings are incapable of knowing that truth is in its entirety. It's the reason we call this thing faith. It is by faith that we know the truth, the way, the truth that Jesus talks about. So Pilate, on the other hand, concerns himself with a worldly kingdom, with governing a restless people. An idea of truth comes from Aristotle philosophy in the Greek. Most of the New Testament is written in Greek, by the way, and Aramaic. If it's a philosophy, a premise in which a philosopher king is someone who loves or where truth is ethical or a real goal of excellence in governing the people. But Pilate's concept of truth has to do with running a good government and using power wisely to achieve a good ethical and a moral decision-making process. But in Greek philosophy of Aristotle, to which the Roman leader would subscribe, truth reflects what is in the world. Aristotle suggests that we encounter two forms of truth. Theoretic truth means understanding the world's basic principles. And practical truth is about the ability to make ethical decisions based on those principles. Neither one of those ascribes truth to a higher power. Now, if you were alive in the 40s and the 50s, and I was, but I was a young child. I was born in 44, but I raised my teenage years into the 50s and early 60s. And if you lived in that area where I have and you have, and I think many still encounter a bit of this kind of thinking, when you took science class, you were probably taught that science is the pursuit of facts and that science can uncover truths about our world and our existence. And then voila, 1962 came. Well, a couple of things happened in 62. They took prayer out of school and many other things. But there was a fellow by the name of Thomas Kuhn who published a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. And in it, he asserted that science is not objective, or that objectivity is a fallacy of our thinking, that we cannot assert any absolute truth. You heard all that? There is no absolutes in this world. Well, I want to tell you, the truth is, there is one absolute that I know of, and that is when you come into this world, you're going to leave this world. That's an absolute, unless Christ returns for his bride of Christ, and he returns. And then we might not experience physical death. Other than that, it's an absolute truth. So when you enter this world, we will leave this world. And we hope that we go to the place called heaven. Well, anything that renders what we see as subjective, when culture paradigm shifts, so does our concept of truth. Now, back a long time ago, there was a movement in the church to experience a new paradigm. A paradigm is simply something, it's a method that we follow. There's a lot of different terms. But paradigm is just something that we do. It's a model and different things like that. But then we can get a new paradigm. Well, today, in the midst of the technological revolution, we have moved as a society from a respect for authorities, specialists who know the facts and whom we can depend on for our concepts of truth, to a society in which everyone has a voice and can cultivate their own ideas and their own truth. Well, it's the age of the internet. It's wonderful. Everyone becomes their own authority. Couple this with the growing persuasive influence of social media. I love it, these people that they get on these things, they call them influencers. You know, I often wondered why, but so we become more like pawns in a sea of truth, concepts from which we can choose according to our needs. Now, this is a Ralphie thing. If you read the book of Ralph, and if you have your book of Ralph, it's probably in chapter 8, verse 9, I think, if I remember rightly. People say, well, the truth hurts. No, the truth don't hurt unless you're not in harmony with the truth. So anyhow, this is what we got. Truth is just relative. It fluctuates. It's depending on our needs and wants and given any time or period, our paradigm. In a sense, you can compare people today with an orchestra in which several sections decide to use their own scales, their own key. They got a key of Ralphie in that their own key, and to play their own rhythms. Well, we have people, for the most part, philosophically declined to the idea of absolute truth. Well, I digress. In the midst, here comes Jesus asking us to tune our hearts and our souls to God's perfect pitch. Jesus doesn't try to change Pilate. He merely states who he is and what his ministry and mission is all about, to testify to the truth. And that's truth with a capital T. For Jesus, the ultimate truth is truth. Jesus is God's witness. He is the incarnation of God. He is flesh revealed to the people. He is called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. He also knows as the way, the truth, and the life that no one can come to the Father except through him. The way is the way to life. Jesus is the way to life. For Jesus, the world can never represent truth. Human beings never can achieve truth. And as Jesus has no interest in competing with the Roman government, Pilate knew this. He may not understand or abide by Jesus' concept of God as truth. He may see Jesus' idea of himself in representing God's truth as faulty, and he may actually even deem Jesus as an ethical and a worldly philosopher. In any case, Pilate actually has no interest in sentencing Jesus. A disagreement in the concept of truth was, after all, to be expected. Pilate said, "Hey, I'm not Jewish." So he essentially has no interest in Jesus and most likely is annoyed with these Jewish authorities who is wasting his time bringing this guy here. Remember in the other part of Scripture where Pilate just said, "Well, I'm going to wash my hands of this." And, well, they kept pushing him, and we know the rest of the story. But Pilate will try to pass him off to the Jewish authorities, and they insist that we all know what happens. "Well, the only thing that you can do is sentence Jesus. Crucify the truth." "Barabbas? Oh, we want Barabbas. Crucify him. Crucify the truth." And that's what they did. Rather, we ascribe to our own sense of truth about our world and our lives, and whether we feel confused by the hundreds of messages about truth that we receive in a barrage of social media, advertising, whether we ascribe to certain philosophies, theologies, or public figures, Jesus' witness does not change. In this, we can take comfort, for he is truly the way, the truth, and the life. No matter how chaotic the world may get, no matter how many paradigm shifts we undergo, God's truth does not change. And every time we worship God and we pray to God, listen for God's call. And we acknowledge and witness to that truth as well. For the truth came into the world and will save us. Not only from our confusion, our doubts, and our disagreements, but from the vacancy within ourself that they create. Our identity, our security, and our foundation comes from the truth of Jesus, a truth that serves as a steady rock in the storms of life and the tree of life which cannot be uprooted. Every time we drive around and we see the remnants of this last storm we have, we see trees that are just up by their roots. But the tree of life cannot be uprooted. Who is the tree of life? It is Jesus. And no matter how the winds of this world can change and blow and try to destroy, Jesus is our rock. He's our constant. And Jesus, as our witness, gives us truth. Something that we can hang on to. Something that just resonates within our being, knowing that we know that we know that Jesus is Lord. Knowing that we know that if we trust Him, because we all have a purpose, we all have an assignment as we come into this world, we have a purpose and a meaning. Life has purpose. You all have different assignments, different gifts and graces, which what makes this thing called a tapestry of life so beautiful, because it takes all kinds. Now, we don't really know exactly what's in anybody's heart. I would like to trust and say that God created humanity as good, and there's goodness in all of us. Some people decide they don't want to recognize the truth, and that's okay if they don't. But when you know the truth will set you free in so many areas of your life.